Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you very much for making this gathering possible this morning. We are grateful to you for your watchful eyes upon us since the beginning of this month. As the month goes to an end, and it's Lord closing in with this period of Easter activities, a memorial of your death, your burial, and your resurrection. We pray, dear Father, that our gathering together and our fellowship around your word will draw us closer unto you. Lord, we take us to the heights we have never been before. We pray, O Lord, that you especially anoint your words into our hearts. Lord, that we might be exalted, Lord, truly to heavenly places in Christ Jesus, perfected and made ready for the rapture. The vessels you will use in each of the services, may you anoint them specially, that each one might speak as your oracle. We that are listeners, may you anoint our hearts. We pray, O living God, that every effort that is put forth in this meeting will reap bountifully, Lord, the result of prayers. Those who are not present, maybe they have traveled to other places, like your servant that went to Owode, we ask you to be with him, Father, and give him a wonderful time there too. Those who have gone to Accra for the youth camp program, we pray that you watch over them and bless the services there also. Remember our pastor back home, that you be with him, quicken his mortal body, perfect his head, O God. Lord, also strengthen the wife, Heavenly Father, make them strong and healthy. Hear our prayer on their behalf, Lord. Thank you, Eternal Father. Wherever some will be at this hour to listen to us from the online, we pray you quicken your word to them also. At the end of this service today, may we have recourse to give glory and honor to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated just for a couple of minutes. Lord bless you. So our brother Femi Adedeji will be taking this morning service as we maybe you know that by our dress, but one day you are going to calculate wrong. Shall we rise on our feet? Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by.
Eternal Father, Lord, we are grateful because you are our Lord. We are thankful because you are our God. Master, you are our Savior. You are our all in all. Lord Jesus, there is nothing we can amount to in this life without you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we are unworthy, O living God. You are the worthy one, Lord. Loving Savior, we just look unto thee this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have been unto us, Lord. Lord, the psalmist says, if not the Lord, let Israel say, if it has not been the Lord, oh, the enemy will have swallowed us up. Lord Jesus, it's because you are our God. It's because you are our Father. It's because you are our Savior. It's because you are our Master. That is why we are still alive today. That is why we can come to your divine presence, Lord. Lord, the Bible says, blessed is he that the Lord calls to approach unto him, Lord. Who the Lord will not he put any sin, Lord Jesus. Lord, it is not our righteousness, O living God, it is your righteousness. Lord Jesus, we just say, blessed be thy name, Master. Take all the glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you for this Easter once again. It has made us alive, Lord, in our right senses, and we are counted worthy among the living. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just commit ourselves to your great holy hands, Father. No man can help one the other. Lord, we are all depending on you, Lord Jesus. If it comes to the needs of your people, Lord, have not even in the picture to meet the needs of your people. You are the one who can meet your people at their point of needs, Lord. Lord Jesus, both the preacher and the listener, we are not looking on today. May you help us this morning, Lord. Come on the scene, Heavenly Father. Blessed Holy Spirit, may you take control, Lord. Forgive our sins, forgive our wrongs, forgive our mistakes, Lord. May they all come under thy blood, O God. Take control of the service, Lord Jesus. Let your blessing be the portion of each and every one of us, Lord. Do special things, O living God, in the midst of your people. Hear our humble cry, Lord. Grant our heart desires, Lord. Lord, set your deliverances unto your people, Lord Jesus. Heal the sick and the afflicted, Lord. Take the sins of God to higher heights, O God. Restore the backsliders to the fellowship of the saints of the Almighty God. Fill with the Holy Ghost and repeat with the Holy Ghost, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we surrender and commit the service to your great holy hands, Lord. Your able hands, O living God, may you take control. Help us and see us through, Master. At the end of this service, we have every cause to glorify thy great holy name. Thank you for granting this request, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. We can have our seat so that we can sing this song before we read the scriptures. In 228, the great emancipator. You give us the key.
And so I fetter by the binding chains of sin. But the great emancipator set me free to worship him. Glory, glory.
Blessed be his holy name. Let's rise on our feet as we take our Bible and read from the book of Exodus, chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, we read verses 2 to 14. Exodus chapter 4, 2 to 14. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thy hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. May the Lord Jesus add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. You can please be seated. This morning, by the grace of God, we want to look at the sermon, What is that in thy hand? Brabham preached it twice. He preached one in 55:06-11 and he titled it, What is that in thy hand? He preached the other one in the same month, in the same year. I think that is, that one is 55:11-20. So he titled it, What is that in your hand? Excuse me. Yeah, 55:11-20. What is that in your hands? But we will center our thought on the one he preached in 55:06-11. What is that in thy hand? Praise the Lord. Now, in this sermon, What is that in thy hand? Before Abraham read the scripture, he gave us a principle about divine healing. So I will want us to hear what he said along that line before we continue. Abraham said there was a tired woman. She came to the platform with a big waterhead baby. You know what waterhead baby is? Babies that were born with big head. As they are growing, their head is becoming bigger. It takes divine healing to heal them. They do operation for them in the hospital. I had one in our area there. The operation was done. Cost a lot of money to do the operation. And yet, the head is still big. Though it's not getting bigger, but it's still there. So Brabham prayed for many waterhead babies that became normal. Praise the Lord. So this one Brabham was talking about, this mother, this tired mother, she was wearied. She brought this baby on her chest to the platform to be prayed for. So, while Brabham was praying for this baby, he said he saw that light. You know what he meant by that light? Yeah, he said he saw that light whirling around the head of the boy while he was praying for the baby. So, okay. Then he said he knew that something has taken place. Praise the Lord. But physically, nothing happened. No, nothing to show that anything has happened to this boy. So Brabham, he asked the mother to take the child home. And he said, when she gets home, she should go out for a string. She should take the string and put it around the head of the baby. And when she gets the actual shape of the head by this string, she should then cut the string. And he said, the following evening or the following night, that string that she has used to measure the head
she should take it back and put it on the head.
Okay. All right.
So she should take it back and put that string that she has made to measure the shape of the or the length of the head. She should take it back the following evening and put the string again to measure the head to know whether there is any reduction on the big of the head. So the following day, the sister brought this to the church. We go here for this matter. Alright, no problem, all is well. If this one will not work, we'll use another one. I think we can continue with this.
Okay. So, the following day, the woman brought the string to the church. And by the time the woman measured the first measurement, the woman took it again to measure the head again. And she found out that the string had shortened, the head had shortened rather, by 1.5 inches. Praise the Lord. Then Brother said he should cut, measure it again, the excess of the string, she should cut it. And continue like that. Let me read the prophet so that we understand. I want us to understand something and get something out of that. Praise the Lord. All right. That's 17 to 21. Paragraph 17 to 21 in 55:06-11. Paragraph is between paragraph 17 to 21. Let me read paragraph 19 now. Paragraph 19. Abraham said, "Now the reason I did that, sister, was this, that you might be encouraged. I prayed for many things that I didn't get, but I don't believe as before our Maker tonight. Ever sincerely, I ask God for anything sincerely like that, unless He give it to me or told me why He couldn't." See? Now, that inch and a half of that little that the baby's head has shrunk within about 18 or 20 or 20 hours, that's to encourage you. See? Now, just keep on believing. See, it will do that way for about 72 hours. Then you will notice, you keep cutting your string up. It will stop. It may get worse for a little while. No matter what happens, you just keep on believing. You see? And just long you will keep your faith. Now remember, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a person, it was in dry places and returns back again with seven other spirits worse than it was. And if it can, it will enter there and take over. And the condition will be much worse. But if the good man of the house is in there, which is your faith, to keep it away, excuse me, just don't fight at it. It will fight you back. Just refuse. Just ignore it. Did you hear that? Just do what? Refuse and ignore it. Refuse to do what? To notice your symptom. Refuse. Ignore it. That's all. Just go on. Just say it's over. That settles it for good. And your baby will get all right. The Lord bless you. Praise the Lord. That is the principle of divine healing.
But Abraham has taught us that many times. Once when we are prayed for, sometimes the devil goes away, and Abraham said, just like a dog is run over on the street, any dead thing will shrink for about some hours. I think after 72 hours, it becomes be swelling up. But if you say, oh, I lost my healing, that minister didn't pray well, I wasn't healed, that is how that unbelief will bring that disease back. That's what Abraham said. I didn't say it. But the good man of the house, which is our faith, is the one that keeps us believing. Ignore what the devil is saying. Ignore the symptoms. And then you... But when the thing will go, you will not know. It's always like that. By the time you ignore the devil, you ignore what he's saying, when that sickness will go, you will not know. It is after some time you say, ah, but are you so? You see, it has gone. Praise the Lord. That is where it has always been. Ask anybody. By the time you ignore the devil, you will not know when that disease will leave. It is after some time you ask, but this used to happen to me now. May God help us. It's basically the principle of divine healing. You see? And the better we learn that, the better for us. Because God never fails. Amen. God bless you. The scripture we read, talking about prophet Moses. Brother said, okay. Let me not just go like that. Let me read from the second Samuel, 55:11-20. 55:11-20, paragraph 28. 55:11-20. What is that in your hand? Paragraph 28. Okay. This was a great day. In the day Moses, we all know that how God has called Moses and chose him in the holidays. How that he was born to be a prophet. And when he came from his mother, she recognized that he was a proper child. Moses, again, a perfect type of the Lord Jesus, born during the time of persecution. How the enemy tried to kill him, but just like they tried to kill the Lord Jesus. When Jesus was born, the Roman Empire issued forth an edict to kill all the children from 2 years old. And Moses, when he was born, the mother saw he was a proper child. His parents hid him like Joseph and Mary hid Jesus. Everything. He was born to be a deliverer and to be a prophet, to be a priest, and so was Jesus, just in every way. But Moses, when the law was given, Moses failed. He came down and struck the rock, that is the table of stone, that was in his hand, and threw it down and broke the commandment, all because of the weakness he had, which was temper. And he broke the commandment and went back, showing that priesthood, Levitical priesthood, will be broken. And in his temptation, he was 40 days in the wilderness, and Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. And when he came out, Satan tempted him at his weakness point, which was hunger for the Lord Jesus. 40 days passed. But when he met Moses, he could overthrow him. But when he met Jesus, he found out that there was something more than Moses there. Praise the Lord. He said, if thou be the Son of God, perform a miracle here before me. Let me see you do it. I will believe you. Make bread here out of these stones. If you are the Son of God, you can do it. Jesus knew that he only did what the Father showed him. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Continually on Satan's battle at him. And even used the scripture, Jesus come back and is also written. And Jesus defeated Satan without using any divine gift that he had, showing that the weakest of Christians can defeat Satan on the word of God. And that's the reason that I try to get before the people, nothing in the individual, the preacher, it is in Christ. And Christ is in his word. Do you believe that? Listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and God was made flesh and dwelt among us, died and rose again, and is in us today, the same Word that was in the beginning. This Bible is the letter of God, and every promise in it belongs to who? Belongs to you and I. Every promise. Let me say that again. This Bible is the letter of God. And every promise in it belongs to you, if you can believe it. And accept it in the right kind of an attitude. It's in you, the hope of glory, Christ. Notice, now, how do we come into Christ? First, we receive him by faith, believing. Secondly, by one spirit, then we are all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12. By one membership? No. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. That is believers. That's already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are baptized into the body of Christ by one spirit. That's a little against Baptist teaching, but that's the Bible. Praise the Lord. So we find out that this Moses that God met at the back side of the desert was born a deliverer. But Abraham said, if you look at the two sermons, go and read the two sermons. Brother said Moses failed when he attempted to do the work that God called him to do by himself. He failed. He killed an Egyptian. And when he got to the brethren, that he threw Hebrew fighting. He said, you should understand, you should not be fighting among yourselves. And the one that was wrong is always the one that was wrong. It was the one that was wrong that said, we also kill me as we kill the other Egyptian. Moses knew that the matter is exposed. And Baba said that drove him to the wilderness to go to Ethiopia. And he became a sheep herder. Because he wanted to do what God asked him to do, what he was ordained to do by himself. Praise the Lord. Moses was there in Jethro's place, herding Jethro's sheep. There he got married and has even forgotten about the calling. Moses was there herding his father-in-law's sheep. And maybe one day he was thinking about how he failed in Egypt. Then that he saw this burning bush. Remember, Brother Abraham said, Christ is the antitype of what happened to Moses. He's born a deliverer. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great deliverer. That is why we stand as one, the great emancipator. Praise the Lord. And this, just as God used Moses to deliver the children of Israel, every son and daughter of God in bondage, God, the Lord Jesus Christ came for the purpose of delivering us from the house of bondage. Praise the Lord. That is the very reason why he died on the cross at Calvary. That is the very reason why he resurrected. That is the very reason why he ascended on high. And he's watching all of us now. He's watching this meeting. Praise the Lord. Do you believe that? Oh, glory to God. We are coming. So, remember, Isaiah 61 verse 1 said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he will read that spirit, he will read that scripture in Luke chapter 4. I want to read it. Luke chapter 4. We are coming to Moses. Luke chapter 4. Said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." But the Bible says that, and he closed the book. He didn't go to the other part, which is the next line of that scripture. And that was spoken about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is to come and deliver all of God's children from the house of bondage. Praise the Lord. And Abraham said the first commission and the last commission was to heal the sick and to deliver the oppressed. And who gave the commission? The same Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave the commission to his disciples. And when he was leaving, after his resurrection, what did he say? He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. He that believeth not shall be what? Damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." In what name? Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. He said, "In my name." You see? Oh, praise the Lord. Well, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody cast out devil. Nobody cast out demon. Not even Moses. Do you believe that? Nobody cast out any evil spirit. It was when the Lord God himself came in human flesh, that was why he casted out evil spirits. That was why he told us that all these sicknesses are what? Evil spirits. And he said, "In my name they will do what? Cast out every devil. In my name." He said, "They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they shall take off serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall walk, recover." Praise the Lord. Brother said that is the commission that Jesus Christ gave to his servants. He gave to not even his servants. He gave to these signs shall follow who? Them that believe. The believers. Praise the Lord. Prabhupada was talking this time. He said, just as he quoted that scripture, he said, some people, the Catholic, they said in the seminaries, they said that Mark chapter 16 from verse 9 downward was not inspired. He said, you know that some people don't believe that it is inspired. He said he liked to tell a story about a boy that went to the missionaries. He had the call of God in his life. We know the story. And the mother, we went to the seminary. The mother's boy supported him. He went for the seminary teaching to take his degree. One time the mother was sick. And they sent a telegram to him that, "Stand by home, your mommy is sick, so that you can come home and see your mom before she died." And while he was waiting, a neighbor or a neighbor woman just went to the mother and said, the Bible said their daughters have tried all they could on the woman because she has something like pneumonia and she has allergy to penicillin. And those days they used penicillin for those things. So she could not be given penicillin, and the doctor tried all she could. She couldn't get well, and she was dying. Until this neighbor came and told her, will you? My pastor is a Pentecostal pastor, and he believes in praying for the sick. Do you mind if I ask him to come and pray for you? She said, that's fine. The pastor came, read Mark chapter 16. The woman shared she believed, and she was prayed for. After I laid on her, she was prayed for. And miraculously, God healed her. Praise the Lord. So they sent back to the boy that he should not worry, the mother is okay. Well, I was saying, about a year later, when the boy came back, he said, mother, I've got to ask you, what drug did the doctor use that healed you so fast when you were sick? He said, oh, son, I forgot to tell you. It was not the doctor, it was that woman down there that came with a pastor and they prayed for me and I was healed. He said, the pastor read from Mark chapter 16, from verse 15, and prayed for me. He said, oh, mama, he said, those people are illiterate, they don't know anything. He said, we learn in the seminaries, in the school, that Mark chapter 16 from verse 9 downward was not inspired. Mama said, praise the Lord. He said, mama, what's wrong with you? He said, glory to God. He said, mama, you are behaving like these particular people. He said, see, I was just wondering, if God could heal me by uninspired scripture, what will he do for me with the inspired word? Praise the Lord. And we know that all scripture are given by inspiration, the Bible says. And it's profitable for doctrine. So all scripture is inspired. Praise the Lord. So, Moses, let's come back to Moses. What as the Lord Jesus Christ, the antithetical, is our great emancipator, so was Moses. In the type, the emancipator. Now, when God met Moses at the burning bush, Brother Abraham said, and God told him, Moses, Moses, I'm the God of thy father Abraham. He said, remove thy shoe from thy feet, for the place where you are standing is a holy ground. Brother Abraham said, Moses could have said, Lord, I tightened this by shoe a little tighter this morning. Just let me remove my cap in reverence to you. That is not what God said. God said, remove your shoe. Praise the Lord. We've got to obey God on exactly what he said. You see, the problem we have is that we try to put our own idea into the word of God. And that spoils it. Yes, sir. That spoils it. We must obey God to the letter. God says, remove your shoe, not your heart. It has to be the shoe. God has the reason why he said the shoe. If God met the heart, he would have said the heart. So it was the shoe that Moses must remove. And when Moses removed the shoe, then God said, I've seen the cry of my people in Egypt, and I've come down to deliver us, and now I'm sending you to go to Egypt. Moses started complaining, I'm a stammerer, I am this, I am that. Then God told him that to show him the supernatural. God said, what is that in your hands? He said, a rod. God said, throw it on the ground. Praise the Lord. And he did. And the rod became a snake. And God told him, take it by the tail. Like I used to say, if Moses did not believe God, he would not have tried to take that snake by the tail. Because the worst place to take, the dangerous place to take a snake is by the tail. A smart man that wants to take a snake with his hand, we target the head. But if you take it by the tail, it will bite you. Ask those that take snake. They don't take it by the tail. Except you want to quickly take it and swing it. Swing it and hit it or something. That's the only way you can take it successfully by the tail. So the body one that doesn't want to kill it, I want to take it alive, they target the head. So Moses has to believe God to take him by the tail. Remember, Moses, when the tail became serpent, what did Moses do? He ran away. But God said, come back, take him by the tail. So we've got to believe God. Whatever God says, see, brethren, whatever God says, God has a reason for saying it. Our own understanding will spoil the program. If you try to put our own understanding to it, it will spoil God's program. That's the problem we have. Reasoning. If you do it this way, it will also work. Let's do it the way God said, do it. God help us. So, Brother Brown said, God could have used anything around. Let me try to read that. But God asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? Before we continue, I think that is 70. What is it in thy hand? What is it in thy hand now? 55:11. Paragraph 69. Now, God, paragraph 69. Now, whatever was laying close, God could have used anything. God could have used a bush. But Moses had something in his hand. He said, it's a stick. Praise the Lord. Down. Paragraph 78. Moses going down to take over with a sign that was. And when he got down there, he took the old stick, the only thing he had in his hand, and overcome Egypt. And led the children of Israel and fed them by the same stick till they went to the promised land. Amen. And hold dry stick. You might not have very much in your hand. You might not even be able to whistle. But whatever you got in your hand, let God have a hold of it and he will bless it. Do we hear that? Whatever you have in your hand, let God have a hold of it. And he will do what? He blesses. Praise the Lord. 79. You can't do no more than testify to your neighbor. If you can't do no more than raise up your hand, say, God, I accept every word of it. Take what is in your hand and do what you can for the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Whatever we give, before we go on, may I say this? Whatever we put in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thing can never be worthless. That thing can never be useless. They took the rod of Hermon to the presence of the Lord. What happened to the Hermon, to the rod of Aaron? He budded. Praise the Lord. Like I used to say, children, if you think you don't have anything at all, you have one thing that God will require of you one day. And that is what? Your soul. And Brother Brown said, it's worth more than what? 10,000 words. Your soul. If you try to keep it, you will do what? The Bible says you will lose it. But if you give it to the Lord, if you lose it for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel's sake, you will do what? You will find it. And you will save it. Let's go to that scripture. think that should be Matthew. Matthew 16:25. Children, are you listening? Children, are you listening? When Brother Brown was preaching the sermon, teaching of Moses, Brother Brown read this scripture. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 25. God bless you. He says, For whosoever will save his life shall do what? Lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall do what? Find it. Let's look at one striking one. I think that is Luke 17:33. Luke 17:33. See the same line of thought that the Lord Jesus Christ said. Luke 17:33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life. You are seeking to save your life. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall what? Preserve it. Praise the Lord. So, if we try to keep our life to ourselves, we are going to lose it. Children, are you hearing? The best thing is to do what? Is to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you give your life to Jesus, that life can never be worthless or useless or end up in failure. It can never. Praise the Lord. It can never end up in failure. Because the one that you have given that to, he knows how to use it to his glory. Praise the Lord. One time, a small boy went to the meeting of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had only 5 bread and 2 fishes in his hand. And Jesus Christ told the disciples, he said, these people have been with me for 3 days. He said, give them something to eat. Disciples said, where shall we get bread to fill all this multitude? He said, what do you have? They look at themselves, they look everywhere. They didn't have anything. They saw a boy that had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. If that boy has kept it, that 5 loaves and 2 fishes to himself, will he have achieved anything? No, sir. But that boy gave it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ used that same small bread and 2 fishes to feed 5,000. Not counting the women. Praise the Lord. You see, whatever small thing we have, let's give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will make a great thing out of it. Praise the Lord. Like this rod that Moses, the Bible was talking about, Moses had. Look at what that rod did in Egypt. But Abraham said, that rod in the hand of Moses was like the name of Jesus in the mouth of a believer. Praise the Lord. Whether you believe it or not, that is the truth. That rod, look at what that rod achieved in Egypt. The plague that that rod brought to Egypt. Remember, that same rock gave them what? Water. That same rod divided what? The Red Sea. That rod did great things in the ministry of Moses, in his deliverance of the people of Israel. And that is the way the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the mouth of every believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they shall drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Praise the Lord. What the Lord did in Egypt, and through the journey, the name of Jesus Christ, we do in the life of anyone who believes throughout his life journey. Praise the Lord. May God help us. So what is it in our hands? May I also say this? Even your business, your children, anything that is a concern to us,
Don't let us keep it to ourselves. Let us give them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the best. He is the one who knows the best thing to do with them. Not you. If you try, our problem is this. We try to please ourselves. The way we see it, the way we understand it, the way it pleases us, we try to please ourselves. But God has a way. The way it pleases you might not be the way it pleases God. Just like Abraham was saying that if Moses had said, I will remove my cap and not my shoes. The way we see it, but if we try to please ourselves, that is trying to keep our own thing to ourselves. Yes. When we try to please ourselves about anything, that is when we try to keep that thing to ourselves. But when we apply the word to anything, that is how we give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Just think about anything you are keeping to yourself. Even in deliverance, Brabant said, if you love that spirit, you are enjoying that thing, you are keeping it to yourself. When the minister come and preach about it, Brabant said, watch the countenance of the people when those demons are being exposed. They don't want anybody to get to that area. Look at that woman that has that demon on her, who has committed fornication when her husband was not there. When Brabant was about to mention, hey, don't say that one. I'll confess that to God. If not the mercy of God that came down to help her to confess it the right way, she would never have been delivered. So anything that we keep to ourselves, that we love, we are enjoying, we want it in our own way, other than the way the word of God says it, that is how we keep those things to ourselves. And it will never be a help to us. But when we give it to the Lord, what is that in your hands that you don't want the preaching to come across? What is that in your hands you don't want anybody to see anything about? What is that in your hands that you are enjoying contrary to what the word of God says? Why don't you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ? May God help us. It is very simple, but sometimes it is hard for us to lose those things. Our prestige, our deeds, it means you are talking to me like that. Those are the things. It's because of our ego. May God help us. Help us, Lord. Okay, let's continue. Brabant continued. Remember, we are talking about what is that in your hand? You see, the victory that we will ever get will not come by our efforts. The victory that we ever have will not come by our understanding. The victory that we ever have will not come by how skillful we are in wisdom. It will only come by the victory of that, by the Lord Himself giving us the victory. Praise the Lord. That is why it is of no use for us to keep things for ourselves. You want victory? You have to give it up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So, but I want to talk about David. A time came in the children, among the children of Israel, there was a champion, there was a war between the Philistines and the Israelites. They picked a valley where the battle was to take place. And a champion among the Philistines, we know the story, Goliath. He said, there is no need for us to shed blood here.
You give us one of your men, let him come and fight me. And if he kill me, we'll be your servants. If I kill him, you will serve us.
Brother said, that is the way the devil will do. When he thought he had upper hand on you.
Praise the Lord.
This Goliath, this champion, he boasted for how many days? For 40 days. Nobody could come out. Because of his height, because of his hand, because of his skill. Because when a man is tall, you better be careful. When a man is tall, you see this basketball player. The advantage that the champions have in basketball is what? His height. And also in war, the privilege that people that won battle have in war sometimes is their size. So this Goliath was posting. He knew that nobody could defeat him. He knew he had upper hand. And everybody seeing his height, seeing what he can do, everybody bowed down. Nobody could talk. Even Saul, the king, that was head and shoulder above everybody in Israel, his own height is not as high as that one. Saul himself had to hide, bury his head. Praise the Lord. So this enemy boasted for 40 days, nobody could come out. But Brother said, the Bible says that Jesse just sent David, said, go and give some food to your brethren. Brother said, he has two sons, two of his elder boys in the army. So go and see how they are faring and give them something in the battle. That was when David got to this place. And at the time David got to the place, he had this Philistine boast. Oh, the thing touched David's heart. David said, how can this uncircumcised Philistine defy the army of the Lord? David had the revelation that he is circumcised. And that circumcision is a covenant with Jehovah. Oh, praise the Lord. That circumcision, and Hebrew will boast about it because they know that of them, of all the tribe of the men on earth, they are the only one that have that covenant God. And that covenant goes with what? A promise. That your seed shall do what? Shall possess the gate of their enemies. Oh, glory to God. And not only that. You see, may I say this before we go on? I was telling the children, we read it in the scripture, in the Sunday school. The 10 spies that went to spy the land, they were told what to go and do. But when they came back, they gave a voice of the testimony. They said that we are like grasshopper before them. Because of the height of these people like Goliath. He said, we are like grasshopper before them. In other words, they will just match us on the head and kill us. They don't need to make more effort. But you know, in that same place, two of them said, Joshua and Caleb said, these people you see, they are bread for us. So people said, we are like grasshopper. Joshua and Caleb said, they are bread for us. He said, if God delights in us, these people are what? Bread for us. Can you please look for it? He said, they are bread for us. Okay, maybe. So it depends on what you are looking at. I think that is, I didn't know how we. Numbers. Is there? Yeah, okay. God bless you. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Continue.
Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is depart from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Some people say that we are like grasshopper, we cannot near them. They don't need to use any war tactics. They will just press us and kill all of us. But people that have revelation said they are bread for us. Praise the Lord. So we see it depends on what we are looking at. May God help us. So David, everybody in Israel were looking at the height. But David was looking at the covenant. And of course, he had experience with the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So David knew that I am a special child. And more so, he has been anointed by Samuel to be king. So he knew that with God on my side, this Goliath will be like the lion and the bear that God gave to me in the wilderness to kill. And he said, why are you too afraid of him? Why should this uncircumcised Philistine, somebody that don't have any covenant with God? Our God is the greatest of all the gods. And we have covenant with this God. We are his children. We are his sons. We are his daughter. Why will this uncircumcised Philistine now defile us? He said, I will go and fight him. He said, what will the king do? The king will do this. He said, I will go and fight him. It was that saying of David that took him to King Saul. Oh, may God help us. This time is flying. So King Saul, when Saul said, I admire your courage, David. But you see, this man, he's been fighting war from his youth. You are not but a lad. He said, your highness, let me tell you my experience with the Lord. It was then he told him how the bear came to the flock where he was keeping his father's flock. And the bear took one of the lambs. He went around it with the sneak shot. Kill it, take the lamb from himself, from the hand of the bear and kill it. Said, then God, brother said, God raised the animal higher. When God, where God was training him. You see, sometimes when God is training us, we don't know. You say that, why me now? This me all the time. This one me. That one me. This one me. It might be God training you, teaching you for a greater work for you to do. May God help us. God was training David. He didn't know he has a battle in front to fight. He didn't know. Just like Moses. While he was taking care of his father's in-law sheep, God was teaching him how to lead his people. May God help us. So when we are complaining, why me? Is this only me? This one, that, this is one. Is it only me? Am I the only one in the church? This one just happened. This one happened. That one happened. Is it only me? It might be God training you for a greater work ahead. Praise the Lord. When God sent the bear, David took courage. He killed the bear. Then God sent the lion, a higher animal than the bear. You expect David to run away. He took courage again. He killed the lion. Now he has to come to a place where an uncircumcised Philistine is boasting against the army of the Lord. Defiling, not only boasting, he was defiling the God of Israel. Oh, the thing, David could not take it. Said, I will go and fight him. And when they took David to the king, and the king admired his courage, then he said, take this, my hammer. Maybe this will help you. I should go to meet this enemy. He said, God bless you, God help you. What he cannot do.
If his armor could have solved the problem, why don't he put his own armor on and go and face the enemy? May God help us. He said, God bless you, my son. You don't go. God be with you. When David put it on, my brother said, David could not move. Then my brother said, then Saul will realize that his ecclesiastical vest does not fit a servant of God. May God help us. David said, I've not proven this. This one does not allow me freedom. I've not proven this one. Let me go with what I know God has used in the previous battle to help me in this battle. So that was why David took courage and Saul said, God be with you, son. I should go. And Barbara said, when David was going to meet the Goliath, he passed through the brook and he picked what? 5 stones. Put it in his jacket. Which represents F-A-I-T-H. And he had it in his 5 fingers hand, which is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. J-E-S-U-S. Praise the Lord. It is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that brings the result. Brethren, may I tell you also what Brother Bram said? Brother Bram said that sometimes a saint we see in the church sick, and it will be hard for that saint to be healed. And a prostitute will come to the same church, and the prostitute will receive healing and go away. Confess her sins and receive her healing and go away. He said that healing is not based on the merit of your salvation. It is based on the merit of your faith. Likewise, sometimes an apostle can come and receive healing here. And a believer, bona fide believer, Holy Ghost filled believer, will still not be able to appropriate the faith to be healed. It's on the basis of our faith. But Abraham said, may God help us. But Abraham said, when the Lord told Abraham to take the animals, 3 animals, and the turtle dove and the pigeon, Abraham said, he divided the animal. He didn't divide the dove and the pigeon. Because that represents faith. And Brother said, it is the same thing from Old Testament to the New Testament. It is your healing is based on your faith in the promise of God. Praise the Lord. So it is faith, your faith in the Lord. So David, he took this sneeze and went to meet Goliath. Not David was not between two opinions. What of if this man killed me? No. David knew that he's going to kill the Goliath. Because when Goliath came and said, am I a dog that you send this little lad to me? He said, he cursed David in the name of his God. And he said, I will use my javelin or my spear. I will use it to take you and hang you on the tree. David said, you come to me in the name of your God, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. This day, I will cut off your hair from your body. Praise the Lord. So David was going with conviction that he's going to kill this enemy. Praise the Lord. And not only that, when Goliath was approaching to the Bible said David ran. He was not just walking sluggishly. Hey, oh God, help me today. Just help me, this man. No way. David was running to meet him. And when David got to a point, swing the snake shot with the stone in it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. When he released it, what is that in your hands? When he released it, the Holy Ghost took control of it. The Holy Ghost took a hold of it and directed it, not only directing it, the Holy Ghost raised the velocity of that stone. That's my revelation about it. And gave it the velocity of a shotgun. They were going to read the verse until the stone traveled with a high speed and hit Goliath on the right place on the head. That is how the enemy fell.
Praise the Lord. Oh, what is that in our hands? Let's give it to the Lord and see what God will do with it. It was the Holy Spirit that took the stone that David released, took it and directed it in the right place where the enemy will be, because he had helmet on.
Baba said that the visor, maybe he just removed. They asked, am I dreaming or am I looking right? The very place that he removed was where the Holy Ghost targeted and hit him there. He fell. That was how the victory came. So that was why I was saying that whatever victory we are looking for will not come by our head knowledge. It will not come by our own strength. It will not come by our ability. It will come by us releasing whatever we have to release to the hand of the Lord for him to take it and give us the victory.
Praise the Lord. What is that in your hand? Or what is that in thy hand? May God help us. But Abraham said, while on David, but Abraham said, David knew, David was a good man. And he has learned God by nature. Abraham said, that reminds him also, because Abraham also lost the wood. He said, it is not all the time that he goes to the wilderness to kill game. But sometimes he goes there to stay alone with the Lord. He said, one time it has to be in Colorado. He was there when a storm came. When the storm came, and for a time, the storm scattered the animals, because all animals would be running from the storm. The storm scattered the animals. The male and the male could not get themselves. So the storm, when rain wants to fall, you know, all of us run scatter to go and hide somewhere. Said, and Abraham was in the wood, and he said, then he was thinking about God. He said, we can see God. He saw God in the rainbow that was formed after the storm. So that was the covenant that God gave to Noah one time. Then, to cut because of our time, then he said he had the heck make a sand. That's the way they call the sand, I can't remember. And the mate, when they made the sand maybe on top of the hill, the mate will answer maybe at the valley. He said, reminds him what David said, when the deep calleth unto the deep, and the deep will respond. Praise the Lord. You see, when there is God in us, anything we look, we take it to the scriptures. And sometimes, something will just come, you see something, your mind will go back to the scriptures. Say, this is what God said about this. Or this is. So, Brahma said, when we heard that, Brahma said he was weeping, that nature, this is nature. And he said, there he was praising the Lord, running around the tree, praising the Lord there. And he said, he noticed a cha-cha squirrel. This squirrel was making a lot of noise. He said, are you making the noise because I'm praising the Lord your God and my God? But later, Barbara said, he noticed that it was not him that he was looking at. He was looking at an eagle that the storm has brought down on the tree. This eagle was also looking at it. Ron said, he saw the eagle. And he said, oh God, what do you want me to learn from this eagle? He said, he saw the braveness in the eagle. The eagle seeing him was not afraid. But he said, do you know that I can take my gun and shoot you? Ram said, the eagle kept filling his wings. He said, before you take your gun, I'm gone. Ram said, he wept like a baby. He said, a believer has confidence in his God. The Lord. He said, a little while, when that eagle got tired of the chattering of the squirrel, he just took a jump, flopped his wing for some time,
and then stop flopping with wings. But it's no more flopping with wings, but setting his wing with the wind. And as he set his wings with the wind is taking it higher and higher. Praise the Lord. And then Barabbas said, this is where we are going. Barabbas said, one time he also, when he was heading cattle, one time he had to take his binocular and watch this animal, eagle, and he tasted the tail of his young. He said one time he was watching this eagle with the binocular, and he said the eagle young to their little ones, they give back to them in a nest. And this nest is always because it is the animal they kill that they use to make the nest. The nest is always stinky and sticky. Smelling and sticky because there are the tree that the trees and things that the animal uses make it to be picking the animals, the young ones. He said one day he saw this eagle. He wanted to take his bed away from the nest. And as he got there, sometimes Baba said they will be fanning that nest very hard, so that wind will blow on those little ones. This time Baba said that the animals, the eaglets, will come out, put their feet to hold the feathers of their mother, and it will take them. The first time that they will be on the ground, he take them to the valley and detach them there. And there the animal could stand there and be picking grasses and things. Then the mother will go away and fly to the rock and stay there watching this eaglet. She leaves them to exercise themselves in the valley, in the ground. But then, he's watching them from the top. He said, let a coyote come and think that he has seen a prey. He said, he will fly like a lightning from that place, pee that coyote and scatter it to pieces. Praise the Lord. Then he said, when the animal, a time came, when he was looking, the Baba was looking through the binocular. A time came, he noticed that there was a storm coming. The animal knew that the storm is coming. The animal, this eagle now flies down, and when he's coming, he makes a loud sound. He gets to the ground, and all the birds that are scattered, they come together, they use their beak to hold their mother's wings. And there he carries them away to safety. Praise the Lord. Abraham said, it reminds him that one day the King of Glory will scream. He will come down and all his children will be taken in his wings to glory. Praise the Lord. It is a promise of the Lord. And one day it will be fulfilled. Just like that magnet that Abraham said in the workshop, he will lower down and come, and every of his children will jump to him, and he will take them to safety. Praise the Lord. Then we are about to talk about Samson. Samson, you know, at the beginning, there was a time that he destroyed the farm of the Philistines. And now they gathered, they said, and he went back to Israel. They gathered and said, they are looking for Samson. Samson was top of the mountain. And the people of Israel went to him. They said, these people, we have to deliver you to them. He said, promise me that you will not fall on me. He said, no, we will not fall on you. So they tied him with a rope and delivered him to the Philistines. He said, while he was going, he knew that there was danger, and he knew, he looked somewhere, he saw a jaw of a moon. And when he saw, there was nothing in his hand to defend himself. But when he saw the jaw of the moon, he picked the jaw of the moon, and he used it to keep what? 1,000. I forgot. To kill 1,000. That jaw of the moon lying there, Abraham said, when he hit it on the brass of the head of this Philistine, it can break into pieces.
But once in the hand of Samson, when the Holy Ghost came upon him, that is the difference. Samson, as an ordinary man, cannot do much. But when the Holy Ghost came upon him, and with this jar of meal in his hand, it was then he used it to kill 10,000. Praise the Lord. Then, lastly, before we close, let us come to Shamgar. We've tried to at least cut some things. Whatever God says, it will come to pass. Paragraph 156. Oh man, let us look. What is that in thy hand? 55:6-11. Shamgar has got all his stuff put up. His wheat, like he did every year. And about time he will get the crop put up, then along will come Philistine and take it away from him. Who is the Philistine here? The devil. Then along will come the Philistines and take it away from him. That's just the way the devil does. Just about what the devil is for. Just about time you get a little courage, build hope, or something another. Then along come the devil and take it away from you. That's right. Just like the revival that's going on now. Just about time you get it started and the glory of God begins to fall, then some quack has to come up and do something that is not right and take the glory out of the thing. Here not long ago, I went down here, was one of our Christian sisters painted up like a Jezebel. I said, what's the matter? She said, well, glory God, said, my pastor told me it was liberation of women. Paint you. Paint was liberation of women. Liberation of women? What's the matter with you? No such a thing as that. Christ liberated us from sin. Then act like it and dress like it. About time the church gets built up and get a good start, then something like that has set in. Yes, sir. She said, well, I tell you, sir, my pastor told me I could do all this. And had enough pay on to paint a van. Her finger looked like she's been hitting raw beef spout and blood over her fingernails. I'm reading the prophet too. I thought, women, you don't look like a Christian to me. Oh, sorry, woman, you don't look like a Christian to me. Listen, lady, don't you let that kind of a nonsense be poured down your throat. A good old-fashioned case of the baptism of the Holy Ghost will take that out of you just exactly like. Right. Just remember, you've lost some ground somewhere. I don't care what that woman preacher, she wasn't ordained of God. I tell you, you that is in the first place, that's right, is a contrary to the word of God. Listen, God never was put. Sorry. Listen, there never was but one woman in the Bible that ever painted herself up to meet a man. And that was Jezebel. God had fed her to the dogs. I'm reading on. So if you see the woman all painted up, you just say, hello, how do you do, Mrs. Miss, I mean to say, Miss. Now you talk about. Not be there. We are reading. Miss what? Dog meat. That's what God made out of her. Just an old dog meat.
So they don't pay any attention to that. That's of the devil, right? Where she ought to be cleaned up and act like Jacob said to his wife and daughter, make yourself like what you ought to be. Amen. What we need tonight is a good old fashioned Holy Ghost revival, preached back with the power of God moving in and out among the church, and the starch and color taken down. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. That's what we need. Yes, sir. All right. Oh, Shamgar, damn there, about time he got something built up, then something like that had to happen. That's the way the church, when the revival gets started, then something like that had to raise up. Brother, just preach the old fashion. Well, we used to have a lot of sheep in our country, and they had a sheep killer dog, killing dog. We caught him with the wool in his teeth. We took the whole shotgun, both barrel, and turned it on him. Brother, that's the thing to turn on them kind of a guy, is the whole shotgun, both barrel of it. Tell you, it will straighten things out. Sure will. We stop your sheep killing. Amen. I don't know I was going to say that, but you can just remember that. All right, think of it. My, and there, about time he got what wheat in and everything. Here come the big old fat Philistine. Up and take it away from him. Right on top the road. Take it away from him. One day, he just got his crop all laid in and all trashed out. There he was, poor little fellow. He started down there at the Ghana, was looking around. He said, well, mother, perhaps we will leave this winter, us and the kiddies, looking around. And the first thing you know, he happened to hear something come up the road. Trump, 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 trump. Here come 600 men, big old helmets on. Their big old iron shoes, their spear in their hand, their big sword hanging in their side, coming up the road. Take his crop away from him. I can see little Shamgar say, oh man, look at there. Here it comes again. He looked over at his poor little wife. There she was. The elbow of her dress out. There is the little children. Look like skinny people. They had nothing to eat. The Philistines have took it away. That's about like some of the Christians look tonight. A puny looking thing to be called a believer. A born again Christian. Amen. Not enough faith to do an eye if it was ink. That's right. Oh my. Do you know what that means? I don't know what it means. But not enough faith to do if they have ink in their hand. To even write eye, it'd be difficult for them. Yet they have the ink, they have the pen. But then to use that, ink and the pen to just write I alone will be difficult for them. May God help us. So verse 71. Don't let the devil come over and take the glory of God out of the church. Send your pastor. Abi? Okay, don't. That's what is written here. Abi. Of course, I don't mean that. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean that to be anything. Let's bypass that. God be merciful to my soul. I'm not rude. I don't mean to be. But brother, it's time we brought made black black and white white. Yes, sir. You will get God in your camp. And you will hear the shout again in the camp of the king when you get the thing fixed up. Amen. Now notice. And here was the little old Shamgar standing, looking out the window. Here, called Philistine, said, oh, mother, look there. His poor little girl crying. I can see her put her hand down, say, Daddy, we won't have nothing to eat this winter. And then I noticed mother, and there she starts crying. You know, Shamga looked out. He just didn't know what to do. He looked around, he said, I couldn't fight. I'm not a fighter. I hadn't got time to go out. I learned how to dwell and take all these exercises and things. I haven't got time to do that. But he happened to look, sat in the corner, there stood and hold horse God. You know what an horse God is? It's a big stick there with a brass end on it to punch the cattle through the gate with, for one thing, and then knock the dirt off the plow when they was plying with it. And old horse God laying there, that was the only thing that he could put his hand on. But you know what? I don't say he got angered, but his righteousness got up. Yes, sir. Brother, I will tell you, what is in your hand? Nothing but an horse God. And he said, I'm not a fighter. I can't do this. I haven't got any training. But he didn't have time to do any training. The only thing he needed was the Spirit of God on him. He jumped out the window with the Spirit of God on him and took the horse God and kissed this other Philistine. Amen. With the Spirit of God, just like on Samson, the Spirit of God on Shamga, it was not the Shamga that killed the enemy. That was why I was saying that it can never be by our skill, by our strength, by our ability that we can get the victory we needed. The Spirit of God has to take control. Praise the Lord. So, what we need today is not go away to the seminary and learn whether Mark 16 is right or not. Brother, the people are saying we got to do is get out right now. It aren't whether you will dwell or not. It will rise. Yes, sir. You know that he was a Philistine. And he knew that there was Philistine on sacrifice. As sure as I know that sickness, as long as you know you got that trouble, whatever your trouble is, we know it's of the devil. And he know that he was an Israelite. He know that he was circumcised. He know that he right to the promise. He know that God will promise to bless him. So he got all hungry with it and picked up the horse God and went to work. What we need tonight is to believe, my brother, that we are God's children and you got a right to eat. And the promise is yours. Whatever is in your hand, pick it up and go slay the devil from one side to the other one. Amen. And you will find out that the feathers will go to flying, the devil will be defeated and you will come forth a whole again. What is that in your hand? You say, Brother Abraham, I haven't got nothing in my hand. You might have a prayer card sitting on the ground and rise in the name of Jesus. Say, I take as my healer tonight. Hallelujah. You might have a little catechism sticking in your hand and wanting to check up on me to see if it's right or not. Throw the thing away and rise in the name of Jesus Christ and get baptized with the Holy Ghost and go forth in the camp. Amen. Yes, sir. You might have a bunch of little creeds you have to repeat in the morning before you go to church and learn them and you can say them. Throw the thing away and get a feeling of the heart of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Drop the thing to take what's in your hands. Whatever is in your hands, take it and do the best you can with it for the glory of God. Amen. My goodness, here it is. Oh, praise the Lord. May I say this before I close? No, but Abraham taught us that I believe is the message. We have said about the devil. But you know, sometimes God allows some of these things for what? For a testimony. The best thing, the only thing that we know that we are right is just to be sure we are Christians. Once we are Christians, whatever comes our way, we know, because the Bible says all things does what? Work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. Abraham taught us that like the man that was born with blind eyes. Yeah, the man was born. What did Jesus Christ say? For what? For what? For the glory of God, the man was born blind. So sometimes, so that we balance the two. Somehow. Sometimes when something happens to a Christian, it is not all time the devil. Once it is a Christian is a Christian. God could allow that to do what? For a testimony. Or to see the side that you will take. You see that when you have sickness, you say, God is no more asking prayers. I will try maybe the Alagra, or I will try Babalawo. Sometimes God allows those things to come our way too. So it is not all things that is in the devil. Let us get that clear. Sometimes God allows those things for either the testimony or... Okay, the man that was born blind was what? For the testimony. Job was what? To test him. Because there was conversation between Job and between Satan and God. And God said, go. You will see that you will not deny me. And God used that to try Job, to test Job, to prove to Satan that God's children will not work cause God. God used that word to prove to Satan that God's children will not do what? Cause God. It's not possible. No matter whatever a Christian passes through, he knows that he is safe and secured. Whatever happens, if God allows Satan, the God that allows Satan, when it is time for God to do his work, the devil will find his level. The time I had the accident, let me use myself as an example. The time I had the accident, I broke my hand. Somebody might think that he went out of the Lord. That was why that happened to him. That is good for him. That might be your thought. But that might not be what the reason why that happened. Maybe, I don't know. But one thing I know is that once my hands were broken, my hands was broken. But now my hands is okay. And I know too that at the time I was passing through that, I didn't curse God. Neither do I, hey, there's another word. God bless you. Neither do I charge God foolishly. That I know for sure. I know it happened for a cause. I know it happened for a purpose. Whatever the cause may be, just as you think, maybe I went out of the will of God. I don't know. Maybe it was God to give me a trial. I don't know. But one thing I know is this. One time my hand was broken, today I can use the same hand back. Praise the Lord. May God help us. You see, many times we think, you see, God's way is past finding. God's way is what? Past finding. May God help us.
One thing we are glad about is this. Am I a child of God? That is the thing that we should all be concerned about. Am I a child of God? If I'm a child of God, whatever God allows to come along my way, it will be my good. It will work for my good. So this morning, brethren, at least we have balanced the two. Who are we? What is that in your hands? Why don't we give it back to God? Because with it in your hands, it will do you no profit. But when we give it to the Lord Jesus Christ, and most especially our life, our soul, I mean to say, if you try to keep your soul to yourself, I want to be a doctor, and I must be a doctor. Whatever it will cost me to be a doctor, I must be a doctor. Is that the will of God for you to be? Whatever it will cost me, I must be a doctor. If it takes me to go to Balawo, I will go to Balawo. If it takes me to do this, I will do everything. I must be a, is that the will of God? Why do you have to beat your head out? What is the will of God for your life? What did God want you to be? Give it to the Lord. And I once again, brethren, whatever we give to the Lord, it can never be a failure. Whatever we give to the Lord it has never been and will never be a failure. God bless you as you bow down our heads. What has God spoken to you? How has God spoken to you this morning? Why don't you commit yourself unto Him? Let's commit ourselves to the Lord. The same God that we have talked about, the same Holy Spirit that we have talked about, the same Holy Spirit that took the hold of Samson, for Samson to kill 1,000. The same Holy Ghost that came upon Shamgar, for Shamgar to kill 600. The same Holy Ghost that came upon David, for David to kill Goliath. The same Holy Ghost that helped Moses to lead the children of Israel from the house of bondage to the promised land. At least, the same God is here. The same Holy Spirit is here. And is here to meet with us at the point of our knees. The same Holy Spirit is here to grant our heart desires. What is that in your hands? Why don't you give it to the Lord? Why don't you submit it to the Lord? Don't keep your teeth to yourself. Why don't you surrender it to the hand of the Lord? For this Holy Ghost to do with it what He intended for you, to give you an expected end. What He intended for your life to be. What He wants to achieve by your life. What He wants to achieve in your life. Why don't you surrender your life unto the Lord? Or that thing, why don't you surrender it to the Lord?
In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. How many want to be remembered in prayer? How many want to surrender what you are holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? You want this surrendered, that the Lord Jesus Christ will use it to His glory and to His honor. Is it your testimony? Is it whatever you, what is that in your hands that you want God to take a hold and use it to, your, to His glory? Why don't you raise that in your hands as a will of surrender to the Lord Jesus, as His servant will pray for us.
Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful unto you this morning, Lord, for your word that has gone forth in our midst. We want to appreciate you, God, for this being the beginning of this meeting. And Lord, your spirit is calling unto us to give up whatever we are holding, to lay down whatsoever is in our hands. Not only our hands, but our hearts. Wherever, O God, we are holding anything, Lord, that we should hand over to you, because you are the only one who can make anything good out of it. Your prophet mentioned that little boy that had a little lunch pack with him. Lord, with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Say that we don't even fill the belly of the little boy, let alone to share with someone else. But when it got to the hand of Jesus Christ, he fed several thousands. The Bible says 5,000 men, without counting women and children. Lord, that is to show what you can do when anything reaches your hand. The stick in the hand of Moses, while he was in the wilderness, just an ordinary dry stick, meant to just touch cow to move here and there. But Lord, when he turned to you, he became judgment rod for the whole nation. He became the rod of deliverance for your children when they are in problem. Lord, he divided the Red Sea, as you have heard, and done so many signs and wonders. When he touched the rock, he produced his water. Dear Father, whatsoever is in our hands, whatsoever is in our hearts, that we are pondering over, thinking of what will come out of it, may we find grace this hour to surrender them unto you, because you are the only one, O God, that owe our life, and you are the only one that can solve problems, that can answer questions, that can deliver, that can set free, that can bring healing, that can do whatsoever, Lord, that we are expecting. Lord, because with we as mortals, our efforts, we amount to nothing. Even when it comes to our health, we cannot even do nothing about it. And the doctors today can't do nothing. The drugs, many of them are not even working. And the one that is working is too costly to be afforded. Dear Lord, unto whom then shall we go? It is only unto you. You are the only one that have answers to every question, solutions to every problem. You are the one, O God, that have what it takes to bring joy out of sadness. Righteous eternal Father, we present ourselves into your hands, the hands of your sons and daughters are off, as a sign that they surrender everything unto you. Dear Jesus, take us as we are, Heavenly Father, Lord, and do with us as it seems fit to your sight. Lord, whatsoever we have as needs and as problems, may you grant solutions to us, Heavenly Father. Master, we just pray, dear God of heaven, that this thing will be a revelation in our hearts, not just, oh God, something we hear with our ears. Make it a revelation, Heavenly Father, that we might totally surrender ourselves unto you, and you will come on the scene and prove yourself great and mighty. May every situation around us turn to a testimony to the glory and the honor of your name. As this meeting has started on this note, we pray that you will raise our faith higher, that Lord, as we continue, we will see greater things, we will see greater blessings, we will see greater victories, we will see greater, Lord, achievement of your goodness and mercy in our life, that at the end of it, our life will be much better. Our mouth will be full of testimonies, Our hearts be full of joy. Let it be Heavenly Father. Lord, your daughter that came to the altar, whatsoever has brought her there, may you grant her expectation. We want to once again remember our pastor. Lord, also remembering the wife also. We pray that both of them, you give them good and perfect health. Lord, may you flush out whatsoever is in their system that is contrary to good health. Lord, flush this out for us, Lord, and give them good and perfect to the glory of your name. Let it be Heavenly Father. Master, thank you for your servant you have used this morning to bring your blessings down. May you strengthen him. May you recall him. May you lift up the honor of his ministry. Lord, the rest of the meetings ahead of us from tomorrow, Lord, take us higher, Heavenly Father. Prepare your servant for each of the services. Take the glory and the honor unto thyself. Those who are in other gatherings, convention, or joint meetings, or whatsoever, oh God, we pray that your presence will be seen in the midst of your people. That at the end of this period, oh God, the church of God will be more strengthened. Lord, there will be great testimonies flying everywhere of the great and mighty things that you wrought in the midst of your people. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. As we return to our home, may your grace take us back home safely. Watch over us in tomorrow. Bring us back, oh God, Lord, in our numbers. Lord, may there be no one that will be cheated by the enemy in this period, Lord. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and for granting our petitions, because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. The Lord bless you.
Yeah, Brother Yemi, God bless you. We're happy to have you again. We enjoy your inspirational amen and yes. We sure enjoy it especially. You are at liberty, whether to stand or to scream or to raise up, you are just at liberty. Everybody is on their own. God bless you richly. We thank the Lord for the first service that has come to its end. God willing, tomorrow by 9 o'clock is the next service. And then Sunday, as we have said, will be 8:30 sitting. No Sunday school. And the meeting will come to an end by 4 p.m., God willing, on Sunday. Let's continue to pray in prayers for God's blessings in each of the services. While we also remember our meetings at this time, not only in Nigeria, in other nations of the world. Let's remember the program we are fixing for Sunday, that we are to come from home, not eating as much as possible. Those who are compulsory on drugs, of course, you are excluded. The Lord bless you richly. Shall we rise? It is wonderful to know that Jesus died for me. Wonderful. You did.